This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. We come to juz number 15 and we've got Surah Isra, or some call it Surah Banu Israel, and we've got Surah Kahf that comes in this juz. So as for the first one, Surah Isra starts off with the Mi'raj of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he goes into Aqsa. And a lot has been, this is probably the only place in the Quran you will find that there's really deep thought about the situation in Palestine and the situation in Jerusalem. And, you know, I'm going to leave it to the readers to actually just go and do or read the tafsir of the first two sides of Surah Isra, where you will find that Allah tells us about the future of Isra. He tells the future of Al-Aqsa. And he tells us that, look, every time there's going to be a people that will be around it, and they will cause a lot of corruption, they will kill people, or they will create a lot of oppression. Eventually Allah will bring about people from outside that they will set the score straight. And he will bring about his good people to live on that piece of land. Now, he starts off the surah with that because Mi'raj is one of those incidents that is like the pinnacle of the distress that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went, but at the same time it's the beginning of the greatness of having one of the greatest journeys ever in the history of mankind. So Allah azza wa jalla gave him this gift to show him that, look, there's so much to come in the akhirah. So what we see straight after the incident of Mi'raj in the surah is Allah tells us that, look, all people, they will either become those people who are running for this world, or they're running for the akhirah, they're running for the next world. So as for the people who are running for this world, ayah number 18, Allah talks about them and says in the end, they've got nothing but Jahannam. And as for the people who are running for the akhirah, Allah says, well, I will be pleased with their striving or their endeavor for the akhirah. And Allah says, كُلَّا نُمِدُّ هَاُولَاءِ وَهَاُولَاءِ. You know, people are being, there's a tug of war going on this earth. Some people are actually being driven this way and some people are driven that way. So what should you have, and how can you keep your sanity in such a world? Allah says, well, you need hikmah and you need wisdom. What's hikmah? Hikmah is that you need to know when you can control yourself and when to do the right thing at the right moment. So there are almost 15 things Allah mentions from ayah number 24 onwards about hikmah and about how to use one's wisdom. So one is regarding parents, that we're supposed to show our best conduct towards our parents, ayah number 24. Then in ayah number 26, he talks about how we should spend and not be those who waste our money. Ayah number 29, Allah talks about how we shouldn't become, you know, sort of stingy. Ayah number 31 is about children, how we should look after them and not sort of kill their future off. Ayah number 32 is about us not committing any zina and being able to stop ourselves at the right moment, not going towards something which is indecent. Ayah number 33 is not to go towards killing or something which is inhumane. Ayah number 34 is about not consuming the wealth of an orphan or someone that is weak. Ayah number 35 is to be just and to give people in due measurements what they're owed. And ayah number 37 is not to become arrogant. And all these things Allah has mentioned, Allah says in the end, this is hikmah. So if you want to keep your sanity, you've got to keep your balance. And one of the ways that we keep our balance is to actually connect ourselves to the Quran. So if you look in ayah number 41, ayah number 45, 46 and so on, Allah talks about how this Quran is a means for people to keep the sanities in a mad sort of world. Because what happens is the people who actually attach to the Quran, they will find deep sort of soothness in the Quran. And Allah talks about this. He says about the people around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when they listen to the Quran, there are those who find the soothness and there are those who actually get agitated because of the Quran. And those who do get agitated, they turn around to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they make silly arguments to him. And one of the arguments they make to him is that, you know, why is it that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has come with such a Quran, And why is it that it's warning them of these certain things? So Allah gives them a test and He says, look at your own situation. When you're traveling along the earth, not in your own homely town, when you're traveling along the earth, see what happens when you have some disasters coming around you. Who do you actually turn around to? And even if you look at your own traveling, you find that I'm the one who actually gave you the sovereignty on the earth and on the waters. You're able to sail across the seas and able to go across the land and do what you want because of my gifts. But eventually what they do is they come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they try to make him be diverted from the Quran itself. And Allah says, well, if I didn't keep you on this Quran, then you'd surely go away from the Quran. But then Allah tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam again to keep with the Quran, especially reading the Quran at Fajr time. This is ayah number 78-79. And they come back with more arguments. What you can see here is that there's a tug of war where they carry on try to belittle Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the message. So they come with excuses like, you know, why can't you make a ladder from the earth to the sky where we can actually walk to the skies and we can see you walk up to there. And you bring a book and we'll see you fetch that book to the earth and then we'll believe in that book. And Allah says, well, you know, these are futile arguments that people are making. The honesty of all of this is that it's not going to lead anywhere except like the people of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, who denied the truth and in the end they faced their own consequence. And this is at the end of the surah, Allah mentions and He says that, look, what we should do is to keep our sanity again, stick with the Quran, stick with Allah Azza wa Jal and try and steer through this with Tawheed, with the oneness of Allah, and try and call them towards the truth. If they believe in it, they believe in it. If they don't believe in it, they don't believe in it. Now, Surah Kahf then starts about halfway through, and what Surah Kahf is telling us is these young boys who actually were in a situation where so many people around them, the king's men, you know, they said the Qiyanus was a king and he had all his men watching all over this city in somewhere in the middle of Europe. And this is before the advent of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And these young boys get up and they proclaim the truth in a marketplace openly about the oneness of Allah. They are summoned in front of the king and the king gives them a few days to try and, you know, reject or, you know, give up their faith. And what they do is they run away and they have a dog behind them that runs with them. And you'll find all of this around ayah number 17, 18 and so on, where they eventually go into a cave and the dog sits at the mouth of the cave. Now the very thing they wanted to get away from them becomes the very thing that starts to give them security. And they sleep there, and when they wake up, they send one of the individuals to say, you know, go and bring some food. So he goes down, brings some food, but because of the coins that he takes out of his pocket, people are astonished that he's got coins that are 300 years old. And what they realize is that these boys are the very boys that went missing 300 years ago. The Qiyanus, the king, has died. All his men have died. His soldiers who were chasing them have died. All the people who never believed in Allah died. And these are young boys who survived all of it. And what Allah is trying to tell us through here is, look, you can be in a world where you've got all these cameras and you've got these satellites and you've got all these people watching you and whatever else going on. Governments are suppressing your beliefs and so on. But in the end, what you've got to realize is all of this is going to be gone. You'll find yourself and you'll wake up in the Akhirah where it's like you just was yesterday, and when 300 years have passed by, you've just suddenly woken up, and all people wake up on the Day of Judgment. And that's where the real, you know, end will be. And he gives us a brilliant example, you know, because the people who are in power, they think because of the things, the power they've got, they are on top of everyone and they'll get the last conclusion. Allah says that's not the case. So he gives us the example of the two gardens. So one of these members, he had, you know, there's two people. One of them had two gardens, and beautiful gardens with you know, rivers and, with streams inside and with fruits and so on. Ayah number 32 onwards, you'll find it. And he thought, you know, he was on top of it until Allah Azza wa Jalla destroyed his gardens overnight. And he found that all of his power has gone overnight. And Allah's trying to tell us again that, look, power is not what you see in your time. Power is in the unseen, where I control everything. And he gives us another example in ayah number 47, and he tells us about the people on this earth who've got wealth and so on. And in the end, what they find is because of the misdeeds they've done, there's the books of the Day of Judgment facing them, and they think, Ya Allah, you know, every little thing, big thing that we did is facing us on the Day of Judgment. So again, they had the wealth, they had the agriculture, they had the power on this earth, but it didn't help them in the end. He talks about another scenario, Iblis, look at the power that he had. And he thought he had.
until he ends up on the Day of Judgment, and he doesn't even have an individual who stands up for him to help him on the Day of Judgment. Ayah number 52-53, you will see that. So Allah then comes back to the people of Makkah and he says, look, you people in Makkah, what power do you have? And the human stands there and thinks, no, there must be more than this. Now this power must sort of save me. And Allah says, look, there are many hidden things behind one of the crucial things that people have in their minds is that, well, you know, all of these mishappenings on the earth, how do you explain that? So Allah gives a beautiful story, which is the story of Musa alayhi salam, about Khidr. And they have traveled to three different places. And whether it's the boat where Khidr breaks the boat, or whether it's the boy that he kills, or whether it's we're going to the beginning of the 16th juz where it's a wall that he mends. Behind each one, there are secrets only Allah knows. And Allah's telling us that, look, it's not about what you see, the power that you see, the hidden things behind there, Allah knows that. And there are true realities because of which you are where you are. So that's like the summary of all of it, which is that don't look at the powers. Remember that Allah has all power. And eventually, the power of the Akhirah is the real power. Jazakum Allah khair wa akhir da'wana. And alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. ذكر علم ونور الحاملات سنا ونور والرسمات هنا سرور يا حلوى تلك السنين.